So we've travelled down to Balcombe from London today. It's Friday, the 16th of August, and we've just set up our tents. Balcombe is the front line on the fight against fracking in the UK. There's been a 3-week blockade here of trucks going onto the test drilling site. The villagers are 85% opposed to drilling, and yet drilling is going ahead. And this weekend, from last night, a new group of people are joining to support the villagers' struggle. There's a camp here called Reclaim the Power, kind of run along the same lines of climate camps of the late 2000s. A sustainable eco-village being set up just 30 minutes walk south of the drilling site in a field that they took last night. The structures are being set up, marquees are being assembled, composting toilets, kitchen tents, a media tent, a power tent, a site tent, composting toilets, running water they are laying pipe for but haven't quite got set up yet, so that is all part of the infrastructure that they're building, people are building now. And we're walking back into the village to try and get the backstory on what's been happening here over the last 3 weeks, talk to some of the people that have been here, either from the village that are supporting the villagers in their struggle. Many people have come from around the UK to support them, and many of them are facing the threat of fracking on their land in their local communities as well. And it's a beautiful bit of countryside, just walking through some ancient oak trees that are lining the road here. And it's a beautiful bit of countryside. Just to put on record why I'm here and kind of declare an interest, is that following the observation that we're past 400 parts per million in terms of atmospheric CO2, we're definitely on a very dangerous path, careering potentially into unstoppable climate chaos that's beyond our control. Government policy is not responding to this. In fact, it's doing things which appear to be in the interest of big business rather than the climate, protecting the environment that we all rely on ultimately, and protecting the conditions in which civilization has flourished and has adapted to. And in the UK, we're particularly we're at a fork in the road. As regards energy policy, we've got the energy bill going through Parliament. We can either choose gas and biomass for producing our electricity, or we can take the renewables path. This is the moment when we kind of make that choice. In terms of energy sources, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel and venturing deeper into more risky forms of energy like tar sands, fracking, offshore drilling. And I think when the communities that are hit are local ones, as they are with fracking and the fight against fracking in the UK, people can see how kind of dangerous, risky and foolish these extreme bottom-of-the-barrel energy sources are. And so this is why this fight is important.
Hi, this is Jordi from Resonance FM 104.4. I'm together with Phil England and we are in Balcombe. There is a community camp of villagers that has been here for several weeks, and we are going there to ask the people about what they are protesting for and try to get the point of all of this protest. We're gonna stay in the Reclaim the Power campsite for a week to see how the situation evolves. How long have you been here in this camp?
I've been here for 2 weeks, on and off. I have to come back and forth. I work just like many of the people here do. I have to work with children, and I go back and forth from the camp. I have a cottage, a very nice cottage in the countryside that I would love to be living in, but I come back and stay in my tent by the roadside as part of this occupation. And I feel that mine and everyone else's lifestyles here aren't ideal, but we do what we need to do to oppose the fracking.
Okay, I came on Saturday, so I've popped home once, but I've been here nearly a week. I don't agree with fracking. I mean, not only do I not agree with it, I think it's highly risky. I think that if the damage gets done to the environment, it'll be permanent, because we're talking about deep down underwater pools. So, and once they get polluted, they can't get cleaned up again. And I'm worried about it. And it's coming to a town near me, very soon. So that's why I'm here, even though I'm not from Bolcombe.
I live up in the village, but I've come down for the past few days, because I've made a friend, Debbie, here now, and it needs to be more of us down. There's not been enough villagers down here, and they're here to support us, and that's what we need.
I've been here since Sunday. Arrived in Sunday morning. Been here since then, so what's just under a week. I'd watched Gasland, for example, and sort of been learning about fracking, and heard this was the first one in the country, and just wanted to come down, try and stop it in its tracks, hopefully.
I was sitting in the living room where I live on Thursday afternoon last week, and it just came into my head. I have got to go to Bolcombe. And I sat there and I said to my partner, I've got to go to Bolcombe. And he said, well, why do we need to go to Bolcombe now? And I went, I don't know. I really don't know, but I just got to be in Bolcombe. Yeah. So we arrived on Monday. And we've been here since.
The fracking is such a controversial issue. I've been an environmentalist for most of my adult life, and we're here to try and stop fracking, try and stop Quadrilla drilling their hole. And there's so many reasons why we're here. We're trying to show the government that they must listen to the people. The local village here is 85%, more than actually 92% opposed to fracking.
Hi there, what brought you here?
The reckless usurping of natural resources when we should be investing in renewable energies. That's pretty much it, really.
We came today because we know about the festival and we knew they'd be needing some products, some food and some drink. So we just brought some stuff up. Basically, the fracking is putting rubbish into the earth that shouldn't be there, but it's gonna leak out into the water systems, and if it does that, it'll pollute everything. So it's gonna be polluted for years and years and years to come.
Well, it's detrimental, really. We've got the animal, the farming, we've got the shooting that everyone does, the fields. It's just my kids as well. I mean, there's a school up the road. You've got everything here. It's such a bad area to be doing it in, and it's just the after effect as well.
Oh, where do you start, really? I mean, the water thing, I think, is one of the most important things, because obviously you poison the water supply. That's bad news for everybody. Also, the continuation of fossil fuels, which is at this point in history is quite a suicidal path. You've got to realise, there's a million reasons why you should oppose fracking, really. Yeah.
This earth is our only home. If we destroy it, we have nowhere to go. So why do people insist on making a fast buck on gas or oil or any other thing that is unsustainable so that we will not survive? Everything is connected.
What were the highlights of the last few weeks?
Last few weeks? I think lots of people getting arrested, I think, was good. It put the campaign on the map, people getting arrested for no reason. They brought in some strange thing where they were arrested under trade union laws, which was complete and utter nonsense because this isn't a trade union dispute or anything like that. But it just put us on the map, I guess. You know, I think that was a good one. To be honest, they're still drilling, so that's not really a highlight. There's no highlights until they go away, basically.
Today actually has been a big highlight. What we've seen today is massive media coverage. We've been inundated, completely inundated with photographers, helicopters in the sky that have been press helicopters. We've had celebrities come and visit, and this is what we need. This is how we go forward, and this is how we get the message out that this atrocity behind where we're standing right now is opposed by so many people, and eventually the government is going to have to listen to the people. And if they don't, then they can expect similar consequences as they had at the anti-war marches.
There have been some altercations, some lorries coming through, and meeting some more protectors that have come from London. But the only highlight I can see in the near future is when they leave. I am going to stay here until the last lorry leaves that site.
Stopping the lorries from coming, getting through to the fracking site, and people protesting and standing against the police, and then the police are like coming onto their side. So that was the highlights of it, really, making them lose money because they can't get the trucks through. So that's great. Yeah.
The atmosphere here has been absolutely amazing. There's been a lot of support from the village. The villagers come down every day, not all of them, but the majority of them. 85% of them are against the fracking here. They come down and bring water and other supplies. There are lots and lots of different groups here and lots of different age groups. There are two meetings a day where we talk about how the camp's going to be run and how the protests are going to be carried out. Lots of workshops as well and different things, you know. It's lovely. It's really lovely. But it's actually, having said that, in between those times it's very tough because the police occasionally weigh in a little bit heavily. Like this morning they weighed in pretty heavily, so that wasn't too nice.
Nice.
How do you feel about the policing of the protests?
It's a really good question. The policing of the protests. It's, for the most part, the police have been very responsible, and they have looked after our safety, certainly, as they say is their main concern. I don't believe that's their main concern. They've been, for the last 5 days, physically forcing us down the roads, and that wasn't happening before the protests started taking longer and longer and longer. The way that I personally see this is that the police have got into bed more with Quadrilla than they have with the peaceful protesting civilians that we have here. There have been arrests, and I've witnessed arrests, some of which were for nothing at all. I myself was threatened with arrest and continuously poked in the neck by a police officer during one protest where I was singled out and my arms were locked in two people either side of me. I was facing away from the police, not towards them, and I was told that if I continued my resistance I would be arrested. It was, thankfully, the protest ended very soon after that, but at the same time, I did nothing wrong, and I can keep my conscience clear on that. I wasn't provoking or antagonising the police. I was purely part of a peaceful demonstration and was singled out as part of that. And my police that day, my idea and my understanding of what the police are doing here changed that day. Because I feel like they're more concerned about looking after Quadrilla than they are us.
It is what it is. Policing on pretty much every protest is, I would like to say, a little bit strong. But, you know, like I was saying with the arrests and stuff like that, that was very heavy-handed, and they had to rethink their strategy, basically, which is why you've not seen as many since then. Because they lost a lot of public support from that, arresting, like pushing down old ladies and this, that, and the other. They were pretty heavy-handed, which they always are. Because, well, they're just used to like like full-time activists and stuff like that, but this is a local issue that the local people of Balcombe are getting involved in as well. So when you get old, like the elderly and young kids here and stuff like that, and they're still going around their normal day-to-day clattering heads, it's not very good, really, you know. So yeah.
Today there's a different style or different group of police officers here, but the Surrey police and the Sussex police have been extremely restrained. They could have taken it an awful lot further, and they haven't. And neither sides have lost their moral ground, which is a good thing, because that tells the people and the wider populace that we do want to do this peacefully. We will not lower ourselves to true violence and persuasion, and the government should listen to us.
Well, this is sort of a first time for me, so I can't really have anything to compare it to, but I mean, personally, I almost got arrested myself, and at times it seems very heavy-handed, but at the same time, you know, it can switch and be quite, you know, impolite, casual, but overall you don't really know what to make of it, because obviously it could, the mood could change at any time. And
the police change their tactics, it seems, every few hours. So you can be quite friendly with them at one moment, and then they get the orders from above and the whole atmosphere changes. They charge down and they're aggressive. But on the whole, most days they're absolutely fine. And we all actually get on really quite well with them.
And what do you think about the current leader of the local council, who said that reclaim the power wasn't welcome? What do you think about the current leader of the local council who said the reclaim the power wasn't welcome?
I don't think anything about councils. I just think that they're there just to... they're supposed to be there to help us. They're supposed to be there to do what we want them to do. And they're obviously not doing that. They're being rogues. They've got no right to do anything that the people don't want them to do, and the people don't want this, they don't need this. So the councils are totally, as far as I'm concerned, out of order.
To that individual, I would say that Reclaim the Power, who have arrived late last night, we were helping them set up until very late in the dark. These people are good people trying to do good, honest work voluntarily. They've organised a camp for like-minded people to come to and educate themselves in matters of
I'm tired.
It's been a long day. It's really, it's exhausting just being here, man. They're educating themselves in matters to do with protest, to do with environmental issues, and there's workshops every day. There's organisations like Greenpeace and UK Uncut and Disabled People Against Cuts. They're all coming here to give talks and lectures. There is action planned as well while they are here, and that direct action can take many different forms. You know, it could be the same direct action that we're having here. For the last 2 weeks, we've been doing everything we can that's in our power to peacefully protest on the road, and all we can do is take their time. We've been slowing the trucks down, they're bringing in deliveries of drill bits and water, massive water trucks, thousands of gallons at a time. We've been slowing them down, so much so that it's taken 45 minutes, 1 hour, to walk a very, very short distance. But that's how we can push forward with our goal of making it unviable for these guys to be here in the first place. The reason why we have this problem in the UK, not even in the UK, it's worldwide, you know, in every developed country, is that the government are very, very keen to show the citizens of their country what they think they should see. And it's been widely reported on the BBC that we are dull bludger types who don't work. And if the government and the BBC and the news channels were to take some sort of stance on this and really talk to us about who we are and why we're doing this, that would make a difference. But they're not. They're talking to us about what we think about Quadrilla, and not necessarily taking into account the reasons who we are as people. And I think that's an important part of the story as well. And there's more sides to the story than us versus them. It's them and a whole range, hundreds of people now that are coming together, all from different backgrounds, all from different races, different ages. If you look around this protest today, you'll see children through to old age pensioners. This morning a chap turned up and he was a lovely guy, you know, an old actor. He said he's been in theatrics all his life. And he said, I've come to support you. We were like, where are you from? He was like, Cookfield. And Cookfield's very, very conservative. Very conservative. But he felt strongly enough to come over and put himself out there by himself as an old age pensioner and say, I'm here to stand with you and stand up for the good of the country and the good of the people. And it feels like the government is so keen. In David Cameron's speech the other day, he mentioned that this was a battle that he was going to win, I think were his words.
The strength of opposition seems to be 85% of the villagers don't want fracking, and yet appears to be going ahead, or at least the test phase of it going ahead. How does that make you feel?
I'm not very happy about it, but there's not a lot I can do on my
powerless.
Own, which is why, yeah, we are powerless against them, because they've done everything backhanded anyway. Any rules and regulations that they've had there, they've been able to get around them, and we can't do anything about that. I don't have a big overview on it. At the end of the day, anyone that's down here to help us get rid of Quadrilla, they're all welcome here, as long as there's no trouble. We don't want trouble, because everyone that's been here, they haven't caused us any trouble. Obviously, it's making the village more busy, but no, I'm not against them being here. The thing is, everyone's different. Everyone has their own opinions. They just don't want the trouble in the village. That's all they're worried about. They're concerned about arrests and it being logged later on. Because when people move and buy houses, it's all logged on the arrests. And that's what they're concerned by in the village. We just don't want it here. We want it gone.
We just don't want it here, really.
It's our future. It's our children's future. It's going to cause so much damage, and it's fair enough if they stop and cap it, but it doesn't stop the damage that's already been done once they've started fracking, because it's in the ground.
Well, you have the constant noise from the drill, obviously. I mean, you sort of adapted to it almost, and it was strange when they switched it off, because we heard silence for the first time, and obviously there was a bit of celebration and stuff, but again, we've not really been sure what to make of things, because they've been saying, you know, it's potentially not financially viable. But yet we've seen them erecting razor wire and all kinds of things since then, and obviously the police presence has only grown. So again, it's mixed messages, really. Mm. It's obviously it's brilliant when they stop drilling, and hopefully it's stopped for good, yeah. Not just here, but we say we're not really sure what to make of things on the ground.
Okay. It's good for the moment, but it's not going to last. They're going to try again. They're just trying to make everyone go away, and it won't work.
Well, I have a theory as well on that, seeing as everybody's water got contaminated yesterday in the village. I do not believe that they stopped it because of the activities this weekend. I believe they stopped it because of the damaged water pipes. There's damage already, and the villagers are having to buy their water in already.
Well, I heard a story about black water about a week ago. Has this been happening?
No, yesterday when I came down, because I come to see Debbie, that there was my water was slightly off colour, and it was reported that it was just a burst water pipe, but there was no one wouldn't tell us where it was. But it wasn't very pleasant.
It was reported that, was it? Yeah. Okay. It was the drilling, the vibration from the drill.
It's bringing the dirt into the pipe.
Yeah, it shook the pipes, and all the muck in the pipes has gone into the water.
So we still can't drink it now.
Yeah, so even though it's not exactly the fracking process that's damaged the water, it's still a consequence of the drilling here that's damaged the water. And these people have to now go out and buy their own water to bathe in, wash in, drink, everything. So there we go. I mean, already, almost instantaneously, the water contamination has started. You've seen quite a lot of southwest, southeast water.
There's been a lot of southeast water vans driving up and down and through the village.
I object to the fact that Mother Earth cried out twice with earthquakes while they were fracking in the north. They first of all carried on fracking after the first incidents into a fault line that the background geology hadn't even been, the basic background homework hadn't even been done. They didn't have a clue there was a fault line that they were drilling into. We're just here to show that the opinion against it is growing daily, and each day the members on the sites are growing. The awareness is there now, and people are getting frightened. They know that they want to frack 65% of the UK, and this is really the beginning, and this isn't going to go away. We'll carry on trying to stop them.
We've identified some possible sites where planning permissions have been applied for by Quadrilla and other companies. So, yes, we see that it's probably going to happen soon, yeah.
Is there a local campaign up and running?
No, there isn't yet, but I promise you there will be very, very soon if they move. Okay. We're just keeping our eye on the site at the moment, and we missed the planning permission because they snuck it through very, very quietly and nobody noticed, so...
Well, first of all, I've come from Lancashire, the west coast, the Fylde coast of Lancashire, and I've been here going on 2 weeks in total, but I've been home once in between. Okay. We followed the drill, basically. We've had it up there. We've got it paused at the moment, and we've done everything we possibly can legally to no avail. We've got public opinion with us, and yet somehow the government seem to make the rules up daily as to how they get round it, how they get round the rules and regulations. So it's a last-ditch attempt for us. We never would have dreamt it would have come this far. And I'm actually still shocked every day I'm here that this is happening, that we couldn't use legal channels to stop it before it got to this stage. But we're here now. I went home, came straight back. I couldn't stay away. It's a huge issue, and we don't want it back in Lancashire. We don't want it anywhere. So wherever the drill goes, I think there'll be an awful lot of people following.
And Russell Brand is on our side too, as is Frankie Boyle. So, you know, that's fantastic. And it's really going to pick up over the weekend. Loads of people are arriving. And there should be some quite creative and perhaps audacious actions. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Well, yeah, we arrived on a Friday the first time we came. It was very harsh. Well, actually, we arrived on the Thursday night, but our first full day here was a Friday. And it was a shock to the system. I couldn't believe it. I'd seen it on the news, I'd seen pictures on the internet, but actually being here in person, seeing the police marching a machine down the road and people begging them not to go any further and not take it in, it broke my heart. They were quite forceful on that Friday as well. As I say, they can change tactics, but on the Friday they were very forceful. They made 2 arrests and they dragged people across the gravel. It was inhumane and intimidating. And it was such a horrible, horrible day. We had 4 trucks that day, but it was so horrible. We all sat down that night and we were almost in tears. The following day, though, however, the villagers had a march here. And they congregated at the top of the hill and walked down to the fracking anthem, pretty much the Green and Pleasant Land. And I have never felt a moment as powerful as that. I can't even explain. My heart was exploding. It was amazing. And they all walked down and they sang, and we all sang together at the bottom. And I knew then I had to come back. We were gaining numbers, and you know, we had to be here and support this for all the villagers of Balcombe and for the villagers of everywhere in the UK. So yeah, they're a very, very low Friday, very, very high Saturday.
On Friday the 16th of August in the evening, the whole camp came together for a plenary.
What we're going to move on to now, we're going to look at how we got here, how we came to Balcombe, to this field, and Claire's just going to give us a rundown of the last 12 months or so about what's been happening and how we got here. Claire, over to you.
Hi, everyone. So last October, 17 of us climbed the chimneys at West Burton Power Station and shut down West Burton Power Station, the first of 40 new gas-fired power stations, for a whole week. It was a really, really amazing action to be part of. It was amazing to be up that chimney with that group of people. And it was one of the most, in fact, no, I think I'm going to say the most difficult thing physically I've ever had to do. Like running across a power station in the middle of the night with this like 30 kilo rucksack on and then climbing this chimney. It was like absolutely killer. I hope I never have to do something that difficult again. But I would any day do again. Being with that group of people and taking direct action to stop the dash for gas and to stop climate change, because it's an incredibly powerful thing to do, and it's amazing to have so many people here today who want to take action to stop fracking, to stop the dash for gas, and because we're all passionate about stopping climate change. So it's really awesome to see you all here. So we were at the power station for a week. We built a rope bridge between the two, and that was definitely a massively heart in my mouth moment when the first person got onto that and went across between the two chimneys. That's a story in itself. And then after we climbed down from the chimneys after being there for a week, and then we were arrested and we were charged with aggravated trespass. And then on the day that we went to court, gonna get this story straight. So when someone was in the police station, one of the police officers ran after them with these injunction papers in their hands and told us that we were being injuncted by EDF. We later found out that they were also going to try and get damages from us. And the damages that they were going to try and claim were for what they claimed was the £5 million costs of our action. So EDF were trying... So EDF tried to sue us for £5 million. And we put that out to the world. EDF are trying to sue us for £5 million. What do you think about it? And 64,000 people signed a petition to tell EDF to back off and that we're not going to be silenced and that you can't bully protesters into stopping taking action with these kind of tactics. So if you were one of those people that signed that petition, then thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Big cheer for all of those people. So we put this story out on social media that 21 of us had gone up the chimney and 64,000 people had come down. And then we were like, okay, so we need to make that happen. And so we decided to organise a protest camp and a direct action, a mass direct action at West Burton Power Station, the first of the 40 new gas-fired power stations in the UK and the one that we'd occupied that October. We'd been planning for quite a while that that was going to be our plan. Absolutely, we were going to go to West Burton. And then all of a sudden, here we are in Bolcombe. So I think someone else now is going to explain how we made that big choice to move. But what I just want to say is that 40 new gas-fired power stations means we totally miss our climate targets. It's a really, really big and important campaign. But fracking is also a key plank of that campaign, because what's going to be burnt in those power stations is the gas that they're going to get from the fracking wells. So it's all part of the same mission, and we have to stop them both. And it's great to have so many people to do that with. Thank you.
But another important topic to talk about is why a camp and why direct action at all? So joining us now is Becky. She's going to talk about these things.
Hello, folks. God, there's a lot of you, which is great. I sometimes take it for granted that we come to places and that we camp in fields, and that's just something that we do together. I just sort of think it's a bit important to think about why it is that we do that. Obviously, we're here to take action against quadrilla. Fracking is horrible. But we're not going to do that in 5 days, are we? We're not going to sort that out in 5 days. So, well, we're going to do our very best. I'm optimistic. But this is obviously a massive, massive issue. And for us to put a stop to that meaningfully, finally, we are going to need an absolutely astonishing movement of people to do that. So that is why it is necessary that we come to take direct action, that we come together to do that. But the amazing thing about these spaces for me and what I realized when I was 18 and just sort of found this way of, you know, expressing how much you really, really don't want something to happen, is that these convergences last so much longer than just a few days. What we're able to achieve coming together and having the conversations that we need to about these issues, finding out about it, making new friends, like affirming the working relationships that we develop with people, that is such a lasting thing. That is, those are the nuts and the bolts of a movement that is going to do something, that is going to transform something. So that's why we do this. That's why we're camping. That's why it's not just a, you know, it's not a hit and run action. We're spending some time together. Because we're going to need to spend a lot more time together because we're going to stop fracking and that might take a little while, but it's okay. And this camp is an action. This camp is an action. Quadrilla are not drilling. Like they're giving Bolcom a break. I said, I know. Thanks, Emily. I said it right. Bolcom. So it's clearly an astonishingly powerful act in itself for this many people to come together. You know, that is something that has Quadrilla, who has the support of the big, bad, nasty Tory party. Like, this makes them run scared, which makes me know that this is a hugely powerful thing that it is that we're doing. And it's powerful because we are expressing our utter objection and our utter disgust on our own terms. There are a lot of exhausted, astonishing, inspiring people out there who have been campaigning over months and years to stop this from happening. And they've been going through all sorts of channels, you know, just the channels to government, to corporations, writing letters, running petitions. The way in which we are told as citizens that we can express our dissent, and it's not working, because actually it's fine for us to express our dissent. That's something we're allowed to do, but we're not allowed to have it listened to. And that's not really enough, is it? That's not really going to do it. So we need to take things a little bit further. And that's what, for me, direct action is about. It's about refusing to meet oppression on oppression's terms. It's about taking power, reclaiming power, if you will. Taking it into your own hands and saying, my dissent is not going to fit the way that you think my dissent should be. Because that's not going to go anywhere. So this is a beautiful thing that we're doing. And we have got a good number of days together to work a lot of stuff out, to learn from each other. There are people here from all sorts of places, all sorts of diverse groups and angles and positions on issues. And that is so valuable, because that way we have a huge bank of experience and opinion and, like, radicalism. It's quite good. And we get to pool all of that together and become more than the sum of our parts, and that's astonishing. So we're going to be doing that over the next few days, and I think we should just all be very excited about that. I certainly am. So anyway, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Becky. So we just want to keep the subject on the topic of direct action for a little while longer, and also to acknowledge that the movements that came before us, this Reclaim the Power camp, it didn't come out of nowhere. It's from a particular political tradition, and we should pay honour to everything that came before us, whether it's Climate Camp or the G8 in Scotland in 2005, or the Reclaim the Streets movement in the 90s, or the Greenham Common in the 80s, and back and back and back to the suffragettes. The ethic of direct action is a long established tradition in this country, and it's been a really important factor for change. And I feel incredibly indebted to those people back through the generations who made that happen.
Okay, so we've heard a history of what's happened, but what I'm confused about is how did we end up here? But fortunately, we've got Cara who's going to explain all that.
Hello again. I'm going to be totally upfront about this and admit that originally I was totally against the move to Balcombe. I'm going to say a little bit about why we made that decision. So we had a really exciting and relevant plan for West Burton, and we've already heard a little bit about sort of like the history of that and sort of why that was decided. And then like literally 2 weeks ago, we made the crazy and amazing decision to move the whole thing that had taken months and months of planning and hard work and blood and sweat and tears, and move the whole thing here to Balcombe. After a lot of discussion, like 6 hours of consensus decision making, which was quite painful. But we made the decision. And why did we do that? I've made notes because I'm so excited, I'm going to forget what I wanted to say. The reason why we made that decision is because people here in Balcombe are on the front line of the Dash for Gas. Fracking is the most visible part of the Dash for Gas at the moment. These people are down here. They don't want fracking in their community. It's being pushed through unaccountably by people with vested interests. 85% of the people in the village don't want it, and they've tried everything else. I've just literally just now in that little speaky bit spoken to a local person who said, what did you say? He said, we've done all the form filling. We've done all the drinking tea with the vicar. I'm ready to fly now. I just need someone to throw me over the fence. they've tried everything else over the last 2 years, and direct action is like the only and logical next step. We can't rely on the government or anybody else to do these things for us. We can't rely on them to make these changes for us. In like the last 20 years, when people in power have been negotiating on climate change globally, emissions have gone up by like 40% or something. Don't quote me on that. I couldn't remember the exact figure, but the point is, we can't rely on them to make the changes. All we've got left is us here together to come together and take action ourselves. The fact that Quadrilla have already announced that they're not going to be drilling over the next 6 days, we haven't even done anything yet. All we've done is come together and sit in a field. That just shows how powerful we can be by just coming together. Like, imagine what we can do if we can just go out there on Monday and carry on that and keep taking action. Because a really strong reason, and this is sort of like why I've come round to the move to Balcombe, is because West Burton is already built. That's already happening. Fracking is still in its exploratory stages. It's not in production yet. I honestly think that we have a really good chance of getting Quadrilla out of Balcombe. This is a test case. Balcombe is a test case. If it doesn't happen here, it's going to be less and less likely that it's going to be rolled out around the rest of the country. And they know that there's such strong resistance here. Wherever they go, they're going to be met with the same resistance. We're going to get them out of Balcombe. We're going to get Quadrilla out of Balcombe. We're going to get fracking out of the UK. And yeah, we totally can do it. We haven't even done anything yet. So let's just go and... The BBC are filming. Let's go and bloody well do it.
Brilliant. Thanks, Carla. Angels from the camp up the road, we get a big shout out for the work they've put in over the last few weeks and last few months. Angels.
Hi, hello. Hello, can you hear me? Right, these are some of my camp members. mates. Everyone from Old Camp, put your hands up. I know you're in the house. So here we are, Family of Light uniting, shine bright for what is right. Tonight, every night, until it's done. We're really positive up there. Thanks for coming and joining us. And we've got no showers. I haven't really got any nice toilets, but we've been managing. And we've got bio bins today. Green bin, eco toilets and stuff like that today. So it's all just being built. The new world's being built right in front of us. And I think it's amazing and it's excellent. I'll give you some news on what's been happening. We're basically working on a bit of law that says you can't hurt the environment and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure some of you probably already know about this. We have a man called Carl who does all our legal stuff. And if anyone wants to help out with that and come down to our camp and help out, feel free to come down and see us. We've got a great view of the drill. We've broken through into the woods. Woo! Yep, my crew, my family from Runnymede Eco Village, Magna Carta land, broke through into the woods. He missed the woods, bless him. And so he went back in there, and we've got a great camp in there, but we do need help keeping it alive, and that would be great if I could see some of you up there in the next few days.
We're going to hear one more additional voice, but it's really, really important. It's Vanessa, who's a local resident. Thanks, Vanessa. Yes! This is so wonderful.
Thank you, everyone. I live 4 miles away. There are people sprinkled about this tent who live in Balcombe. It needs a local resident voice here, I feel. For me, for myself, I've been working on this for a year and a half, 2 years. As Cara said before, we've tried everything through legitimate legislatory means. It hasn't worked. We have to stop them. They have to be stopped. This is a critical precedent for the whole country. More than 60% of the country is up potentially for license for this, and the 14th licensing round is coming out soon. This is so powerful. I walked in this field last night and it was so heartwarming. You're so sorted, you're so together. I can feel that it's love-based, and I've been ranting at the media today saying, stop presenting this as a hijacked protest, as gratuitous anarchists coming in, because that's not what this is. And been saying to them, and hopefully the message is getting out, that the people here are really together, calm, intelligent, altruistic people of great integrity who are challenging not only specifically hydraulic fracturing and unconventional fossil fuel extraction. Yeah, fossil fuel extraction. But they're looking at challenging the whole big picture, the whole infrastructure. And the BBC keep asking us, well, what's the alternative? And we are saying to them, well, don't ask for a layperson's energy manifesto. This is not what we're here to do. We're here to say that this is ecocide. This is wrong. It is not a bridging fuel. We need safe, renewable energy technologies that will give us energy security, that will provide wholesome, lasting jobs. We need energy efficiency, and we should have done it decades ago. And if we don't... And stop talking about bridging fuel. For heaven's sake, we've got to get off it. So I haven't done anything unlawful. I'm not exhorting anything unlawful. I don't know if anybody has planned to do that. But I'm learning a lot about people. The BBC keep asking me about civil disobedience and direct action. I don't even know what the definitions are. But I've done everything. I've given up on petitions. I've knocked on the door of number 10. The Environment Agency consultation is a sham. We have to stop this. At what point do we act in self-defense? So, just one last thing. I am speaking as a local resident, but also who's someone who's viewed as an activist, because I've been shouting about this for a year and a half. I started Frack Free Sussex and BIF, Britain and Ireland Frack Free. In my experience of the people in Balcombe, Cookfield is also very close. The majority of them do not want this, and the majority of them absolutely welcome this and welcome you. Some people are concerned. Some people are still more frightened of activists than frackers. We have a bit more work to do because the information that is out there is so invested, and our ministers are not speaking the truth. They are negligent. They're either willfully lying or they are haven't done the research, and either way they're negligent. And this is what's going out in the media. So we've got the internet. More and more people can find out for themselves. But this is a very safe, middle-class bit of southern England, and people have been feeling very safe, and they haven't wanted to look at this. And I've got compassion for that. They haven't wanted to look at this horrendous ecocidal reality that is being foisted upon us. So every day, I punched the air a few months ago, the first time Radio 4 said fracking without explaining what it was. But there are still people who haven't heard of it. Well, I don't know, maybe after this weekend there won't be. So there are still some people in Borkum who are concerned. There are a few people who are invested in the industry. There are still some people who are genuinely frightened. And I heard a senior BBC guy today said to me, I'm worried about mass civil disobedience. I'm worried that someone will get hurt. People are still not understanding what this is about. So if we can just stay with the heartfelt communication and the truth about this and why we're here, hallelujah, bring it on. Thank you.
This is how it's been so far. Let's see how the situation evolves during the week. Thanks for listening. Resonance FM 104.4.